And welcome to another edition of the A-League's Fantasy Show, your one-stop shop for all the latest news, tips, and tricks in the men's and women's fantasy competitions. We're still riding high here on the A-League's Fantasy Podcast from Oz, a brilliant return of Monday Night Football. MacArthur up against Adelaide, an absolute cracker and a big, big fixture in the context of our fantasy team and probably a great many other managers out there. Looking forward to breaking down that one and the rest of the weekend. Of course, I won't be doing it alone. Joining me are some honest-to-goodness, legitimate fantasy experts in James Dodd and Matt Comito. Gentlemen, a blockbuster Monday, a perfect way to close out round six of the A-League men's. Have you recovered? Are your fantasy teams in one piece? Doddy, I'll start with you.
I have recovered, actually. It was nice having a bit of Monday night football, wasn't it? I remember speaking to Milos Stojovski earlier in the week, and he said he loved it, the idea of having that. And I think the fantasy players did as well. My men's team actually did very well. I think I scored 136 points in that round. So that's my highest of the team. My team value has gone up about 600, 700 grand since round one as well. So me personally, I had a good week coming off the back of a little bit of a lull, but yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it and I'm glad to be back this week. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, you can't be counting those figures by round six, Doddy. You got to let it settle a little while. The season is very long. There's a lot to play out. You guys mentioned how enjoyable Monday night was. Maybe it was for you. It's a bit different when you're writing the match report and you're throwing paragraphs in the bin every 3 minutes, but no, it was an absolutely incredible game, one of the games of the season. And importantly for us, Zach Clough, that one trade we made to the podcast's official team last week at the death of the round, 32 points from the star Adelaide player. And it really sort of rescued our performance as a league, gentlemen. 122 points on the weekend. So it wasn't quite Doddy's 138, but a very, very respectable performance from the podcast crew last weekend.
Yes, indeed. And look, it's a trade that has paid dividends for our pod squad on this particular week, saving face for us once again. But it could all have been so different. Thank God last week when second-rated A-League women's fantasy player in the world, Nick DiBano, was on the show, I put the authority of the trades in his hands.
I'm going to put the trade power in your hands. Kryev or Zach Clough?
You know what, though? Zach Clough is scoring so well. I think if we don't get him now, we're never going to have the opportunity to do it. So, Lockie, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to go with Zach Clough simply because he's just playing way too well. And if this backfires, I'm prepared to take all the responsibility. But yes, Spakua, I'm on your corner with this one. Zach Clough in Ferzinand in Mashash.
Now, gents, one swallow does not a summer make, and I want to make that point as the person who was arguing the case for the cut price option, I guess, last week in Oscar Zavada, who pulled in 10 points. But, yeah, I think if there was ever a time that we were going to bring in Zach Clough, it was not only this game because of how many points he scored, but this game because of where his price point is sitting right now. It's hard to believe that at the start of the season, Matt, this was a guy who had, I think after round one, like a 1.3 ownership percentage, and he's now the foremost, I think, fantasy player in the comp.
Yeah, and his lowest score over six rounds is 12. So, you know, it's been very consistent. High scores of 18 twice, and then last weekend, 32 points off the back of goals in either half. He has just been incredible for the Reds. And, you know, they really needed someone to step up in the absence of Craig Goodwin. You know, you never think that it's going to be easy to replace a player like Craig Goodwin, the Socceroos star. But, you know, hasn't Zach Clough just absolutely blitzed it over the start of the year? And now he is up 254K in fantasy value. And we are well and truly riding that wave now, Doddy.
Yeah. And I think with Zach Clough, he's one of those players that, you know, he's so valuable to have in a team, and it was such obviously proven to be the right decision to get him in because he's one of those players that is always involved in things, even if it might be that in certain you know, passages of play that he plays the pass before the assist. You know, there's going to come a time where everybody in that team always looks for him. And so that's why it was a masterstroke to get him into the team. And like you said, it has given the team a real little boost when it needed to. And just very quickly, Matt, Lockie, you touched on something earlier, which has just resonated with me. Why are we not called the Pod Squad rather than AFC Podcast? That's such a better name for our team.
It's because we let Matt pick it instead of literally anyone else.
I'm 95% sure that names can be changed. You know, we can go a mid-season rebrand, you know, get a new badge, well, even.
Hey, Matt, whether or not the name can be changed is one thing, but thank God we've been able to change the team during the season after the rabble you gave us at the start of the year.
Solid foundations are what you need to build off, guys. And I am happy to say there are at least a handful of players in here that are remaining from the beginning of the season. It hasn't been all helter-skelter since then. But Zach Clough has been in my own personal team for a few weeks now, and I'm happy to say I'm now ranked 63rd. That is 63rd in WA. But we don't need to put that in there. But Zach Clough is really helping both my team and our team as a whole. We'll just go over a bit of a look at our team at the moment. I think Johnny Yull at 169K, he's sort of, you know, he's not performing to the level that we need out of one of our prime midfielders. Next to Lockie Wales, Tolga Arslan, Jay O'Shea, Zach Clough are all delivering quite well. He is a player that we've looked at maybe moving out, but as we can see, we've got 17K in the bank, and I don't think we can really make that budge at the moment, guys. So what are we thinking in terms of trades for this week?
You know what? I've been analysing this because I was doing my own team as well. I am going to be relatively cautious for a change, and I know we've discussed this before about whether it's such a bad thing to actually not do anything going into the next match round. And I think given the position we're in, unless one of us can see a gem that's available for a price point of what I'm guessing is still around about 190,000, I see that as too much of a gamble and too much of a potential waste of a trade, given that, you know, there was a period where we were throwing trades around willy-nilly. So I think it might be suitable for us to sit and ride it out and maybe sub Johnny onto the bench and change around the formation, given some of the fixtures that are coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and also keeping in mind, we've scored 260 points over the last 2 weeks with the Pod Squad. So... You know,
how you like that name.
Catching.
It does roll off the tongue. So we have moved up, gentlemen, a whole 5 spots on our A-League's Fantasy Show group into 65th. So we are climbing the leaderboard there. However, let's go to the overall rankings, because we are way off the pace still. We're into the top 1,000, but we are 967th. Out of nearly 7,000. The league is being led at the moment by BC United, aka Brendan, with a whopping 750 points. Wellington Wynn and Benjamin is second with 732. Frogbert Football is coming up behind with 724. Poppers Boys and Carla, 718. And Jarvis Zebras, managed by Chris, 714, rounding out the top 5. So, guys, we're doing well, but we have some ways to go if we want to catch the league leaders anytime this season.
Lockie, looking at BC United very quickly, I'm just looking at his team, right, or his or her team. So only one player from the midfield and the forwards scored under 10 points, and that was Daniel Peña. Clough, Jay O'Shea, Davila, Arslan, Lolly, McLaren, Angel Torres. That is a ridiculously good return. You can see why Brendan is sat at the top of the global rankings. That is outrageous.
Yeah, and a team value of, I think, 5.5 million as well. So you can see that he's picked his mark. You look at the sort of arrows that show that, you know, the price trajectory. Pretty much every player, with the exception of Daniel Peña, who, gee, hasn't he lost some value since returning to the league, is on the up and up, headlined by Joe Lolly, who's at 640K in nearabouts. Now, gents, I don't want to rock the boat. I know we've already settled no trades. Adelaide's next game, though, I've got a feeling it's going to follow the recent trend. I think it has serious goal fest potential coming up this week. And of course, playing Brisbane, another team we've been playing really free-flowing football. Don't think we take anyone out. Do we put the captain's armband on Zach Klopp? That's the only question. Don't have to make the decision now, but just want to throw it out there.
Yeah, look, I think that Jay O'Shea has been really dependable for us so far. And he's a very safe bet, isn't he? You know, you slap the armband on him, even if he doesn't score or assist, he puts up an 8 to 10 to 12 point haul. But, you know, we are all for the showy selection, the interesting gamble, if you will. And I think that Zach Clough, while he's in this form, Lockie, I think that's a brilliant shout. Chuck the armband on him and see what he can do. We might actually have a really, really big differential in that regards. And, you know, if you are looking for Adelaide players to bring into your team this week, the projected price rises are also reflecting a big rise for the Reds at the end of this weekend. Nestori Iraconda, Zach Clough and Ben Halloran, they're all got the sort of projected price rise of between 40 and 55K at the end of this week. So they're players to keep an eye on. Also, another, this is one that I feel like the one that got away for us, Ulysses De Villa. We dropped him at a point in time in the season when he was just finding his feet. I don't want to point the finger at who maybe suggested he comes out of the team, mainly because you can't really point the finger at yourself too often. but he's expected to rise by 84K at the end of this week, and he is 464,000 right now and absolutely flying. So he's one that I think that we just are going to look at all season and go, oh, how did we let this happen? But yeah, he's leading the way in terms of price rises. And also Giuseppe Bovolina from Adelaide, 69K projected price rise. He's been brilliant over the last few weeks, got a good goal against MacArthur as well.
Well, I want to take that theme of, you know, looking at a player and thinking, how can we let this happen? That potential danger. I think it segues quite nicely into, of course, our Liberty A-League squad, because it is back this weekend for round 7, finally after the international break. So no change to really anything that's happened last week, but we do have to think about building this team. And I don't think it's going to be one that we necessarily look back on all season long, as this was the player that got away. But really, as fantasy managers start to think about locking in their squad for the return of the Liberty A-League, there is one star name who is at the forefront of a lot of people's thinking, but it comes at a cost. I'm referring to Emily Van Egmond, a player who has been in great form since her return to the competition. She has scored, I think, 20-plus, made the team of the week in fantasy in consecutive weeks. But we know that from next week or from this game, her price will go up, and it's only a 4-game guest stint. So you feel as though the points are baked in, but you may be burning a trade just to bring her in and get that little boost for a fortnight. Dottie, where are you sitting with this one? Because I think a lot of people right now are sort of grappling with the idea of, do I chase the short-term gratification of bringing in the World Cup star, or do I practice some monk-like restraint and hold fire.
I have got all the willpower of a chocolate fire god. I'm gonna sit and go, nah, let's just be frugal and count the pennies. I'm honestly, I think we should bring her in. I think you take the hit and then you try and work your magic elsewhere later on in the season. I think it's as simple as that. I think we can kind of work out, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is a viable financial plan that we can sort of adhere to. And that means we could get her in and potentially, which we'll come on to, another star who is in a different category from the position that she actually plays in, which I think a lot of fantasy players will have maybe cottoned onto. But for me, Lockie, Matt, I think Emily Van Egmond is a must. The quality's there. We get her while we can before she departs. I think it's a no-brainer.
The beautiful thing for us is that we've come back after the international break to find, after, you know, dusting the cobwebs off the team, that we've left ourselves with 186K in the bank to work with.
That's 10 times more than we've got left in the bank over in the men's, by the way.
Yeah, we are absolutely spending frivolously on the men's side. But alas, we've left ourselves some really crucial wiggle room here. And I think that, you know, if you look at our team, our midfield is very strong for one or two spots. We've got Vesna Milivojevic, who is just an absolute point machine. Grace Jarlay, she was a little bit quiet last time out, but will bank consistent points all season. Then we've got Kiwa Hieda from Western United and Alana Murphy, who have been down on their scoring output so far this season. Emily Van Egmond is in the 200 to 230-ish K price range right now. And she's expected to rise in value after this week by 128K. So, you know, what you're saying, Lockie, is, you know, she's two games into her guest stint. Get her in now. The value will rise this week. The value will rise the following week. We could make 300,000 on this player, trade her back out, and then get in a player of real, genuine value. So I think that is a really good shout for one of those two players that I've just mentioned.
And it's a great, it's going to cost you two trades. Let's not mince words, but it is a great option for, I think, a lot of managers out there who, you know, you look at the 230 kind of price range. It's the price range of an average player, generally speaking, you know, especially six, seven rounds into a season. So, you know, not only are you not, is it not costing you too much, but you're getting a player who is more than likely going to be scoring much better than a player you've got at that price point, and you're going to make a nice little mint off whatever increase in value that you can then use to trade into a stronger player later. So I like the plan you've presented, but we might have to throw another trade into the mix, Matt, because we've been talking about this a lot. I brought it up on the show last week. I am a very big Serena Bolden fan, and I think it might be time for a Jets double trade. Now, everyone, you know, it's been a fortnight, but many people were blown away by Serena Bolden's triumphant return to the A-League with a brilliant brace on her Jets debut. I went to go look for her immediately. Think we have to get this person in. And if I wasn't already enthusiastic about the prospect, I was practically salivating when I realized that not only is this player who is a goal-scoring striker is in the game for just 188,000, she is listed as a midfielder. She's listed as a midfielder in the game. This is almost a cheat code for mine.
Yep. Sit down on your chair and then fall off it, because that is an absolute steal. Serena Bolden has to go in our team. I think that the Van Egmond conversation was one that we were going to decide, you know, if we're making one trade, are we going to make two? Serena Bolden is the player that we are definitely going to bring in this week. 188K to bring in for one of those players, the Kiwa Hiatas or the Alana Murphys in our team, set and forget. You know, if Serena Bolden plays all year, she's going to score. She's listed as a midfielder. It is an absolute no-brainer to bring her in this week. If you're considering players outside of the Jets, just to put some other options on the table, speaking of the ones that got away for us, Daniela Galic, I think that we are haunted at times when we drop a player. She's been absolutely dominant for Melbourne City recently, expected to rise 63K. Sophie Harding, the informed Wanderers striker, 62. Emma Checker, she's back in the mix for victory this week, 58K price expected increase. And Kirsty Fenton, someone who we are hoping to finally bring back off our bench. She's one of our prime assets, but just hasn't been able to get on the park since injuries and the Asian commitments in Uzbekistan. She's listed as an in the ins and outs this week, and we're looking forward to bringing her back in. But, guys, looking at our team, I think that we pull the trigger on Kiwa Hieda out and Serena Bolden in, and then I'll leave it to the floor whether or not we follow suit with Alana Murphy and Emily Van Egmond as well.
I'm with you 100% on the first one. Serena Bolden definitely in, as Lockie said, that is a criminally good cheat code, and I am throwing caution to the wind, as said before. Emily Van Egmond in. It's like buying a car that you know it might go wrong, but you buy it and then you sell it before it does go wrong. I'm going to go Emily Van Egmond. Definitely get her in the team.
Living up to the chocolate soldier reputation that you set for yourself, Doddy. Just check mark after check mark after done. Check mark.
I'd just like to add that after making those trades, we've actually now got more money in the bank. We've got 200K to work with next week moving forward. So if everything falls apart, we've at least got the budget to make things work. So I'll press complete on that. And just before we move on, let's take a look at the leaderboard. We've got Victor Richis leading the way with 750 points. And most importantly, gentlemen, they've bumped Nicholas Debano off the perch. he's trailing by 14 points in second now. So, you know, that's disgraceful by Debano, in my opinion. For him to get there 1 week and then to lose it all, you know, it is back to the drawing board well and truly for him. Andrew is coming third with 729, Hopkins Army and Carla with 718, and Jimmy with Chloe's Heroes 715, rounding out the top five. So yeah, we're ranked 153rd overall. So we've got a bit of work to do, and we're 23rd in our A-League's Fantasy Show League, having risen two spots after round six. So we're in the mix. We're in the mix. There's a ceiling for us to rise to there.
What I hear you saying, Matt, is that, you know, Nick Debano, who's currently ranked second, comprises about 1/8 of our coaching staff.
Yes.
Which it kind of follows the logic, because our team, compared to his individual one, is about 1/8 as good on the rankings. So it works out absolutely perfectly. Of course, if you want to play in the league with Nick, you want to play against our team, which might at the moment be a bit of an easier feat to try and get one over us, you can, of course, head to the show notes wherever you're listening to this podcast to join our fantasy league. That's both men's and women's, and challenge us, challenge Nick, help us knock him down a peg or two. It's one of our favorite things to do on this pod. And in that theme, I've got to knock myself down a peg or two, because it's tip time. We've got to get into the previews, round seven, both the men's and the women's. Not the best for me, gents. Just 2 out of 6 in the men's last week. It's not even a pass mark. I feel like no one has really established themselves as the dominant tipster force just yet on this pod.
Well, no one's really established themselves as the dominant, you know, front running team. Obviously Wellington are first and very well deserved, but there are, what, four teams unbeaten after six rounds for the first time in Isuzu A-League history. You know, even the teams outside of the top six can very quickly turn things around. There are surprise results left, right and centre. It's very hard to pick. I think that this is the Isuzu A-League at its finest. It's what we love about it. Rocking up and sitting down and not knowing who's gonna beat who in a 4-5-6 goal thriller. We're getting them every second night at the moment. So, you know, I think it is a good thing, Lockie, that you're struggling to get the right tips at the moment, because it's much better when results are anyone's guess.
Yeah, it is very, very rare where I am happy to fail. But if it happens, if the consequences we get an exciting league, then so be it. But proving equally difficult to tip at the moment is the Liberty A-League as well. It's a tightly run thing. And it kicks off this Friday, Western Sydney taking on the Central Coast Mariners. A Western Sydney who have now a bit of a spring in their step, having secured their first win of the season against Western United in the previous round. Are they going to go 2-2, Doddy, or a Central Coast going to add another win on their Liberty A-League return?
I've certainly backed them to make it two wins in a row. I've put Sophie Harding in my team up front this weekend as well. I've taken Hannah Keane out individually and put Sophie Harding in. I just think sometimes you can spot little signs in football teams that when things are starting to click. Sure, they might not have had the results before, but, you know, most managers and coaches always say that look at performances over periods like this rather than results, because quite often teams are playing better than you know, the results they're getting. And I think that's been the case with Western Sydney Wanderers. I think Robbie Hooker is obviously, you know, he came in at quite short notice of the sort of the turnaround time there between coaches was very short on the end of the season. So it hasn't given them an awful lot to get the plans in place that they wanted to and start building tactical frameworks and whatnot. But I actually think the Wanderers have turned a corner, and I'm backing them to win this game.
Yeah, and Sophie Harding, you know, from a fantasy point of view, back-to-back scores of 24 and 12. I think that's three goals in two games, especially, and also two against Melbourne City 2 weekends ago, and, you know, scoring against Western United, Hillary Beale back in the team, who's a very, very good keeper. She's hit form and is sort of leading the charge. Is what you mentioned, Dottie, a trend of Western Sydney sort of turning a corner. The one thing that you have to throw into the mix is that the Mariners are performing very respectfully as well at the moment. You know, last time out, a slender loss to Melbourne Victory on the road. That's never easy.
Yeah.
And before that, they went on a mini unbeaten run. So, you know, I think that Emily Husband is putting together a really good sort of first season in Gosford. But having said that, I am on the Wanderers train for this game. I'm with you, Dottie. I think that Harding is an excellent fantasy choice this week to maybe score in a Wanderers win. And yeah, just to ride that trend while they're hot. The Wanderers, I think, will get up again this week for the second week in a row.
Well, Nick Devano on last week's edition of the pod, for those who didn't listen, established what I hope will be the next great Australian building franchise with his army of offences upon which he can sit, predicting consistent draws. I put in my franchisee application last week, and thank God it's been accepted, so I can comfortably tip that this game will end as a draw. I am getting flashbacks to last year, where the Wanderers had such a torrid start to the season, managed to knock off City, and then that snowballed into them beating, I think, Western United, ending their undefeated run in, I think it was consecutive weeks at the time. But I'm just going to go against my feeling of, you know, what will happen in the past will happen again. I think that the Mariners have been, particularly against Victory, were desperately unlucky not to come away with anything. I think that luck will turn, but not enough to get a win for either side. So I think the points will be shared in that one. Now, the team that obviously Western Sydney beat to get their first win of the season was Western United. And hasn't it been a busy international window for them? The man who took them to the grand final in their first season, Mark Torcaso, is gone to spend his full and undivided attention on his role with the Philippines national team. And in his stead arrives former Western Sydney Wanderers boss, Kat Smith. She's back in charge of an A-League women's club, and her first assignment is on the road to Adelaide United, a place that was very good to Western last season. They had that miraculous comeback, Emma Roba scoring a winner in the 97th minute. I don't know. We've talked a lot on this pod about the Kat Smith manager bounce, but the new manager bounce. Will it be a Kat Smith manager bounce for Western United?
I have to stick to my guns here because I didn't earlier in the season. New manager came in, didn't back them, and then it backfired. So, you know, I've humbly come back to the new manager bounce and sticking with it 100%. I really fancy Hannah Keane to show out here against Adelaide. I think that she's due to explode in the Liberty A-League this season. It's only a matter of time until our golden boot winner of last season starts absolutely tearing it up again. And a new manager through the doors, what better excuse for the Western striker to get back into form against Adelaide United? I'm going to tip a Western United win on the road for Kat Smith in her first game in charge.
You've said that just to upset me, haven't you, about Hannah Keane scoring goals, knowing that I just said I transferred her out of my team as well.
look, it was just a prediction, but if a byproduct is upsetting you, Dottie, then I'll go with it. Absolutely.
No, I think this is going to be fascinating because I think one of the interesting aspects of Kat Smith taking charge is as to where Hannah Keane actually plays. Right, we've seen her shunted around that front line this year in a bit of an experimentation of away from what was so successful last year. So that's going to be fascinating. I think the biggest problem for Adelaide this year is obviously they haven't won a game yet, but they can't stop conceding goals. And I think that's the biggest issue. And I think someone like Hannah Keane will be relishing the prospect of coming up under a new coach. Maybe things have gone slightly stale. Nobody knows at Western United. You know, they've obviously decided to work on that with Mark Torcaso to find the best solution. So I think the new manager bounce, I think that kind of fresh aspect, for me, I do think Western United will get a win here because I think Adelaide are just... they're not scoring that many goals. And yeah, when you're not scoring that many and you can't stop conceding goals, it's obviously a recipe for disaster. So I'm going to go Western United as well.
I have to apologize for any podcast listeners, anyone who's on the call recording this podcast with me. If you can hear construction noises in the background, it's because I am erecting another fence. This game is going to be a draw. I can't see Adelaide United on their recent form doing anything to arrest the struggles they've had of late. But I don't know. I get a feeling that it's going to be a bit more of a tentative dipping of the toes back into the water for Kat Smith in her first game back. I think there is quite a lot of stuff to fix, I think, with this Western United team at the moment. So I'm gonna split down the middle and go for a draw. Now I'm going to leave the big ticket item of the weekend right to the end. So let's go to Porirua Park in New Zealand, Wellington. If you need a better endorsement to go and turn up to a game than this, fresh off the back of their star keeper being named Liberty A-League Player of the Month, Fan Player of the Month, and their head coach Paul Temple being named Coach of the Month, they are at home to take on Victory. Really, really exciting game, this one, I think. How do you see it traveling, Jimmy?
Yeah, if for anyone who hasn't read the fantastic, there's a couple of great pieces on the aleagues.com.au at the moment. One from Tom Smithies talking about how Paul Temple, along with Giancarlo Italiano in the Suzu A-League men's team, have kind of transformed things at the club, having, you know, not really enjoyed stellar footballing careers themselves. And I think when you factor in that good feeling around the club, the nice positive things that Riley Foster had to say about the way in which things are seemingly starting to motor at Wellington Phoenix and the kind of momentum they're starting to build, I think is, you know, there's just too many good things happening at that football club at the moment for them to all of a sudden just suffer a bit of a malfunction. And I think, you know, the way that they're playing, you can tell they're a vibrant, energetic squad. They're all enjoying playing the brand of football that they're playing under Paul Temple. I can, to be honest, as much of a difficult prospect it is facing Melbourne Victory, and, you know, the sort of the experience and the talent that's in that squad, I think Wellington are going to win again here. I don't think it will be a blowout. I think it will be a tight game. It might be a 1-0, but I just like what I'm seeing from Wellington. And I think when you've seen successful teams in the past that are enjoying what they're doing, normally, you know, things don't often change without something, you know, being a drastic injury or something like that. They have had their injury issues. That needs to be noted, Wellington. But I'm liking what I'm seeing. I think it's going to be a Knicks win again this weekend.
I'm going to go and borrow a fence from Mr. Flanagan and sit right on top of it. I'm going to go a draw here. I would tip Victory if it was in Melbourne. I just think that this last international break has been quite disruptive for the Knicks, especially with the ACL injury to Marissa van der Meer, who's been absolutely integral to their defence. And obviously the departure of Chloe Knott, the vice-captain, which will be a massive loss for the Phoenix for the remainder of the season. On the flip side, I think that Victory are building very, very strongly after a disappointing start against Brisbane in round one and Western United in round two, sorry. If Victory had home ground advantage, I'd think that this was going to be a win for Jeff Hopkins' side. But just because it is across the ditch, I'm going to go for a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Doddy for this game. I just think Wellington are playing some of the best football in the competition right now. I think from what I've seen of both teams, they've been a lot more cohesive than Victory. Victory have obviously had some absentees. They've had quite a few, you know, issues to work out on their own. But Yeah, at you know, Porirua Park, a venue that was so good for them against Western United. I've got the Knicks in that one. Sydney FC on the road to the Newcastle Jets. Now, we kind of have to tip a Jets win here because we made a double Jets trade. But Matt, I'm informed that there are some. Yeah, Kirsty Fenton is one that we've mentioned as a huge in for Sydney FC. But I think you've been tipped off to the fact that there might be another massive returnee waiting in the wings that could turn the tide of whatever tip you're about to make.
You've got a flair for the dramatic, don't you, Lachlan? Really building the suspense here. No. So Courtney Vine is in the mix to return. We haven't seen her for quite some time. Obviously, had that sort of calf injury on Matilda's duty that turned into a hamstring, and then the Asian commitments for Sydney FC and Uzbekistan means that we haven't seen the Matilda's World Cup hero for so long. However important Courtney Vine is for the Sky Blues coming back, Kirsty Fenton, in my opinion, is of equal importance. She is so important to their back line, one of the best fullbacks in the league over the past year or two, as she's been rising as a Sydney FC star and a young Matildas star. She's going to be one to watch in the green and gold in the future, and it's great to see her back as well. But yes, I do not think that Sydney will keep a clean sheet this week. I think that, you know, Newcastle have Serena Bolden, Emily Van Egmond, but they've also got Lara Gooch. They've got Melina Ayres in the mix as well. You know, this team could be all-out attack this weekend against a Sydney team that hasn't been known for its defensive stability this season so far, which is usually quite a weapon for Ante Juric's side. So I'm going to go a high-scoring game, but I'm still going to tip the Sky Blues over Newcastle.
Ooh. See, I'm going to open an account with Flanagan's Fences for this one. I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be a high scoring draw, though. To be honest, you listed off some good points there, mate, about, you know, the attacking prowess and the firepower that Newcastle have at their disposal. But I just think having some of those, the boost of having those players back is massive psychologically for Sydney FC. Whether Courtney Vine starts and comes off, or whether she comes on, you know, she's the sort of player that scares defenders and can have an impact. So I think actually I wouldn't necessarily give a score, but I actually think a 2-2 this one. I'm going to go for a draw.
I really, really want to say the same thing, but I can't. I'm running out of room to you know, do more carpentry. So I think Sydney will win. I do think there will be a lot of goals in it. I can see Courtney Vine potentially, depending on whether she starts or whether she comes off the bench, marking her return with a goal. But my big question is, I don't know what the record is for like most amount of goals scored in the Liberty A-League in a single day. But I tell you what, I think Sunday the 10th of December will seriously run it close. And the reason I bring it up, not just because I predict goals in this game, but Canberra United, Chaos Canberra, as I've started to call them because of all their wacky scorelines, play host to Brisbane, also on the Sunday at McKellar Park. I'm going to lead off this time. I'm going to be selfish. This is a high-scoring draw. That's just what Canberra do right now. It's why they're so engaging. Gentlemen, do you want to pick one way or the other? Matt, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Canberra. They've had a tough, very tough start to the season. Desperately need a win. And for all you fantasy managers out there, stick the armband on Vesna Milivojevic and just enjoy the show. I think she's going to have a very heavy hand in plenty of Canberra's best attacking work this weekend. And I think that they are going to break their duck with a first win of the season, which will be a bit of a boil over against the fifth place Raw.
Yep. Canberra for me, first win of the season. And I have a sneaky suspicion that Michelle Heyman is going to be on the score sheet this week, because it's about time. I think to let people know a little trade secrets. I think we had our production meeting early in the weekend, didn't we, early in the week for the week ahead. And I think the last time she played Brisbane, did she get a hat trick? I want to say that she might have done last time Canberra beat Brisbane. She might have scored three. So I just think she's closing in on that momentous milestone, and I think this is the sort of game where things could really kick into life and chaotic Canberra, as Laurie said, Lockie said, that I think they could be, they could be the ones to tip the swing.
Cameron and Laurie, that's a name.
Great long day, mate.
No, it's all good. Look, now we can get on to the big ticket item of the weekend. Usually there'd be so many strong contenders for the big fixture. Wellington Victory, third v fourth, was a front runner, but a top of the table clash at BT Connor Reserve in Preston, Victoria, sees Melbourne City go head to head with Perth Glory. Their last game at the end of the previous season was an absolute cracker. I think a 7-goal thriller with Glory getting a late win. I can see similar happening in this game, but I'm going to throw it over to James while I buy myself some time to decide which team wins the goal fest.
Melbourne City, for me, plain and simple. I think, like you said, they're playing on home soil. And I just think if you look at the form, I always look at form, especially, I know it's cliche when they talk about derby matches and form going out the window, but I think form is so important anyway in terms of when you don't play that well, make sure you don't lose. And when Melbourne City haven't played that well at times this year, the worst they've probably had is a draw. The rest of the time they've been playing really well. They've won three in a row. They're in fantastic form. They've just got even, losing someone like Holly McNamara, it just shows you the depth of that squad and the talent that they have at their disposal. I think the tactical framework that you can see is on display with this team makes them a really difficult side to beat because they have other ways of playing. And I think that's so key. And I just think, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they make not light work of Perth in this game, because Perth are a very good side, but it wouldn't surprise me if they make this look really professional and quite comfortable towards the end. So I think Perth are going to win. And Hannah Wilkinson is a special guest on Dub Zone this week, which is really exciting. So I'm going to go a Melbourne City win.
I think that draw to Melbourne Victory and then a defeat to Wellington for the Glory, I think that over the past 2 weeks, those results will have just been festering in the Perth Glory squad. And from what I've seen, I've been down to Glory HQ a number of times this year, and I've seen the buy-in that Alex Iparkas has instilled in this club this season. I think that everything's sort of fallen into place quite well for Glory over the off-season with players they brought in. I think that the last couple of rounds before the international break was their sort of road bump in the road. And they are going to come out absolutely swinging this week. It's not an easy task, but I'm going to predict a Glory win on the road.
I know I made the promise that letting you guys go first would buy me some time to pick a winner one way or another. I've decided that that's not the best course of action. I think it'll be another high-scoring draw this weekend, and I can just start. I can record that into a dictaphone at this point, and just start playing it weekly on the podcast. But let's get over to the Isuzu Ute A League, which two games on a Friday. You don't see that very often, but exciting stuff. It kicks off in Gosford, where Western United arrive on the coast in desperate, desperate need of a win. They are five games without one, five straight losses. Is it going to change? Does the form book find its salvation? Doddy, I know you're a man very familiar with the Gosford area, so I'll lead off with the expert. What does the coast have in store for Western United this weekend?
Do you know what? Honestly, I don't think it does change for them. I think the Mariners are starting to really get used to the way that Mark Jackson wants them to play. It wasn't a rough start for Mark Jackson, losing the games that he did. And I think, when you've had to replace the kind of players that they lost, it was never going to be easy. But I think if you look at the underlying stats and the metrics behind the Mariners, they're actually playing well. They're creating a lot of chances. They've just started now to be able to find the players to score those goals. And I think Western United, they've lost five in a row. They haven't actually played that badly in those games. But I think the difference is the Mariners are the sort of team that don't ease up they keep going and keep going until they find a goal. And I think when you look at Western United, I don't see them being at that same standard, especially with the Mariners being at home as well. So for me, I feel for John Aloisi and his team, but I actually think he's going to be six straight losses. I think the Mariners are going to win on Friday night.
Yeah, you're right, Dottie. You can see when you watch Western, they're very entertaining. They're getting into the right areas. And they do, John Aloisi has harped on about it after the last three or four games. You know, he's almost pulling out his hair in terms of, you know, how are we not getting the ball in the net? And you can see that if things click, it'll lift. But I do think that they're getting the Mariners at the exact wrong point. They got them 3 or so weeks ago. Maybe it's a different story. No Asian football for the Mariners in midweek. I think that Marco Tulio is a player that's about to erupt into form. He's showing all the right signs. Angel Torres has scored his first goal. The monkey's off his back. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that the Mariners will get the chocolates this weekend as well.
It's a clean sweep then, Mariners, for me too. And I think that Marco Tulio game, that explosion that you've been predicting, you've been like the Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. I think it will finally come down. And Tulio, this may be the game for him. The other end of the Friday night fixtures is over in WA. So a repeat of the Liberty A-League fixture that sees Perth Glory play Melbourne City, but Perth hosting. Melbourne City, of course, making their return to the winners list last week. They play a team in Perth who had to weather a storm in literal and figurative senses last week against Sydney FC. Where is this one going, Dottie?
You know what? This is really interesting because I think Melbourne City, if we focus on the away team first, I think they've actually started to... I mean, people forget with City, they've had so many different commitments, so many games to juggle in with. You know, you look at the AFC Champions League, then they've had basically Aurelio Vidmar's had not a lot of time to work on what he wants this team to be. And I think the more games, the more time he actually gets, I think the better they're going to get. And that performance against Newcastle last week was pretty straightforward for them. I think they managed that game really well. I think you come up against the Perth team that Alan Stadick said were great in the first 20 minutes against Sydney FC, but after that they were, I think he was pretty appalled by what he saw from his team. And I think that's a worry for them. I think Melbourne City win this game. And I think they make it pretty comfortable, to be honest. I think the interesting battle will be, though, between the two strikers who are somewhat coming into form. Adam Taggart started to score a few goals. Jamie McLaren's there. They're probably two players that could well be competing for what could be the same spot at the Asian Cup, if you factor in Bruno Fornaroli as well. So I think, yeah, this would be interesting, but I'm tipping Melbourne City.
Yeah, I spoke to Steph Kolakowski this week, and I don't think I've ever seen a player or heard from a player who is that desperate to score in front of the shed, more so than Stefan Kolakowski. He absolutely loves it. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Gloria, whatever half that they're playing in front of the shed, that he gets on the score sheet. I think that the start is very important for Perth. If they manage not to be blown out early doors, they've been finishing very strongly recently, getting late goals. So that could be their saving grace. Like you mentioned, Adam Taggart is getting into some really good form. So looking forward to seeing his battle with Jamie McLaren. But I am with you, Dottie. I think that City will get a win on the road, however, a slender one.
I can see the points shared in this particular game. I think City got the result without being totally convincing against the Jets. I think it was more of the Jets being in a spot of bother as opposed to Melbourne City being overwhelmingly impressive, which is a perfect lead-in to the Jets against the Wellington Phoenix because it was a difficult day at the office for the team up in Newcastle over in the Hunter against Melbourne City. Is that going to change against the Knicks? It's really hard to say that it would because the Knicks are the league's dominant force at the moment. I can't see anything else at the moment, no disrespect to the Jets, than a Wellington win.
Yep, I'm going to go Wellington win. And a funky stat for you guys, Wellington and Newcastle have each scored 599 goals in the A-League men. So we could see a couple of big milestones this weekend. But no, since it's been a celebratory week in Wellington, hasn't it? Chiefy, Giancarlo Italiano and Alex Paulson, the coach and player of the month, respectively, a clean sweep for the Knicks. Everything is coming up Phoenix at the moment. And I'm going to tip Wellington to continue the streak this weekend.
Yep. For me, same for me. Wellington, I think that goal, you can just envisage that goal is going to be scored by the self-titled best striker in the league on his return.
The big O.
The big O is going to come in and it's going to find the back of the net. I think the Wellington are just playing too well. They look brilliant defensively, in defence. They're going forward. They're a really effective team. Bojidar Krajev is someone who can make something happen out of nothing. I think you factor in Oscar Zavada coming back. Newcastle, I think, obviously, they massively lacked that presence of Apostolos Stamatolopoulos last week. And I think, you know, them not wanting to risk him because he had a hamstring issue, that's, you know, there's so much of their play looked like it was reliant upon him, and he's done so well in the first part of the season. But I think Wellington, just too strong, too good. And yeah, I think the Wellington Phoenix juggernaut will continue another week.
This is a game that it has been a really interesting one in midweek because of one transfer that's occurred. Keeley Adamson is the player that sort of splits this upcoming game between Sydney FC and MacArthur. He was a star for the Sky Blues in their Australia Cup run, but obviously things didn't work out for him over there. He's made the switch in midweek to MacArthur, but isn't allowed, my understanding, to play in this particular game. So he'll be watching on from the stands as the Bulls travel to face Sydney FC, the team who were on the other side of the massive Storm game last week. I'm not sure how to pick this one. Matt, where's your head at?
It's the Holman derby, isn't it, Corey and Jake, on either side of the divide. And yes, you are right. The new signing for MacArthur can't play till January. So we won't see a sort of rivalry going up against his former club this quickly. But, you know, I've been high on MacArthur all season. I think that they've shown signs of being an excellent team from the get-go. And I think they're going to get a victory. That Sydney FC find it notoriously difficult to win at Allianz Stadium over the past couple of seasons. And, you know, they did get one against Perth after 3.5 hours on Saturday after the rain delay, which was great to cover. from a journalistic point of view. But I think that MacArthur are just in white hot form. And don't be surprised if Uli De Villa continues his excellent form as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish about the Bulls. I think I think a lot of people in the start of the season were thinking, oh, you know, they're unbeaten, but how well are they playing? If you look at the results they've had, they would have felt they should have had at least one, maybe two more wins than they currently do, given they threw away wins in the last minutes of two matches. So they're playing really well. I do wonder how much that game would have kind of taken out of them, given the turnaround has been quite short. But then again, you know, they've also had the Jugway FC Cup commitments this year. They're a really dangerous team. They've got a lovely mix of experience and the young players like Jed Drew and Jake Holman in particular, but Rafael Borges Rodriguez has played really well for them this year. I just think with Sydney FC, third game in a row at home, I think they are starting to get the Talay effect going. Actually, you know, they had that blowout against Adelaide, but I think they're playing pretty well, and by and large they should have had that game a lot more comfortable against Perth than it actually was. So I think the two teams coming into this are pretty strong. Sydney, you've got players that can create something out of nothing, and Joe Lolly, we know how dangerous he can be. I'm actually going to sit on the fence for this one, though. I do think this will be an entertaining score draw.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with Matt. I think MacArthur win this game. I was really impressed by their win against Adelaide on Monday night. Not necessarily because it was a win, but just I think the character they showed to make that late charge, to come back from behind, was something I don't think we've necessarily seen from them. You know, that sort of resolve. And you need that to be one of the top teams in the league, which they are slowly proving that they are. Really liking what I'm seeing. They're a sleeper agent at the moment, MacArthur, for the pointy end of the season. Another team who we expect, still early doors, but might be featuring prominently there, is Ross Aloisi's Brisbane Roar. They travel to Adelaide to face Carl Viet's men, who will be still licking their wounds after that aforementioned 4-3 defeat to MacArthur. Are they getting back on the board, United, Doddy, or is the Brisbane Ross Aloisi train rolling on?
I actually think Brisbane might win this because I've been really impressed with Brisbane, as most people have this year. The way that they're playing, they're actually doing, it's so rare that they're actually doing what a coach says they're going to do. And they play exactly the way he says. You know, most coaches come out and go, I want them to play this, I want them to play that. And sometimes you think, well, your team couldn't be further away from that. But actually, Brisbane are doing exactly what it says on the tin. And I think the way that they're going into an Adelaide, they're playing an Adelaide team that has been a bit hot and cold recently. Like, you know, they got up their win against Western United, but against MacArthur, Colville was absolutely fuming after that game. I was lucky I wasn't down there interviewing him, because that was something I would not have wanted to do after that performance. And he said as much himself. They've been a bit Jekyll and Hyde, and I'm not really sure why. And I don't think Carl Viet really knows why. And I think going into that, you've got, on the flip side, you've got a Brisbane side that are so confident at the moment. They've got, you know, J. O'Shea pulling the strings for them, young players in there. They're just, yeah, for me, Brisbane, I think it'll be tight. But I think Brisbane have shown enough this year that they're not scared of anyone. And I think they'll win this.
The Sunday agenda is absolutely cracking, isn't it? Adelaide and Brisbane, and then Western Sydney and Victory. I cannot wait to get stuck into those two. This one at Cooper Stadium is going to be an absolute barnstormer. I'm with you though, Dottie. I think that Brisbane are showing very, very good signs right now. They'll be absolutely livid that they conceded their two-goal lead against the Wanderers. Before that, they looked fantastic. One brilliant half in very tough conditions. Adelaide are leaking goals. They're scoring goals. I think both will score, but Brisbane are looking very impressive right now. I'm going to go Raw on the road.
I promise I've been listening to both of you while you've been rationalizing your predictions, but I'd be lying if I said I haven't had the whole time Teo Pelizzeri's call of, where were you? Where were you? When Nikola Mihailovic, you know, Adelaide's 4-3, incredible come from behind win, I think back in season 18-19. This game is giving me similar vibes. And for that reason, and that reason alone, sometimes you need a vibes-based prediction. I'm going for Adelaide United. You mentioned the Sunday agenda, Matt. You're not wrong. We are closing out the weekend in style. Tony Popovich going to face his former side in the form of the Wanderers. A really, really intriguing matchup. Marco Rodan, in his press conference today at the time of recording, said that Bruno Fornaroli is one of the best strikers in the league. He's top two. It's a ringing endorsement. It's not usually how you go into a game, just lathering your opposition in praise. I get the feeling this one is going to be a lot less well-spirited when the football actually plays. And I get the feeling Wanderers might get the result over Tony Popovich's team again.
Is this you putting in your tip before hearing ours and being influenced, Lockie?
Yes, yes.
Very brave of you, right at the end of the podcast. I'm going to go a Wanderers win purely when I can't split teams. I'm just going to go off home advantage. And, you know, the Wanderers.
Stunning insight from Matthew Comito. I just picked the home team. Hey,
sometimes football is a simple game. All right. That's all I'll say. But those comments from Marco Rudan on Bruno Fornaroli, typical mind games, you know, lather up the opposition with praise, and then he'll hope that Marcelo can recover from his Achilles injury in time to absolutely shut him out of the game. I'm gonna tip the Wanderers here. It's a bit more than just the home ground advantage. It's a bit more elaborate than that, but that's what I'm going with, Lockie.
I am gonna go for a draw in this game, because I think Marco Rodan was absolutely right. One of the other things he said in that press conference today was he said Victory got the best squad in the A-League this season. And I think he's probably right, to be honest. And I think, you know, they haven't really played as well as we know they can, or what the best that we've seen a Victory this year, but they've still unbeaten. They still haven't lost those games. And it's important that you can do that from a squad perspective and a belief for your team going forward. They've played some really good football. They've got players that can hurt anyone. I think the key battle is, the matchup is going to be who lines up in the centre of that defence for Western Sydney Wanderers. My personal feeling, having been out of the training ground today, is I don't think Marcelo plays, to be honest. And I think Bruno Fornaroli will relish that, because, you know, nobody wants to play against Marcelo, let's be honest. He's a horrible person to play against, because he's very, very good, and he'll do what it needs to be done to win. I just think Western Sydney Wanderers can hurt anyone. You know, you've got Milanovic is in great form at the moment. They're playing really well. Antonsen has started to have a real impact on the team. I just think this is going to be a lot of goals in this game, but I don't think either team will come out on top. I think it will be a draw.
Interesting. Goal fest in this game. That's you've surprised me there, Dottie. It's a nice note to end things on, a bit of intrigue. But I think one thing is for absolute certain as we wrap up here on this week's episode of the A-League's Fantasy Show. This is going to be a bloody good weekend, if you'll excuse my French. Liberty A-League and the Isuzu Ute A-League. It's back and massive in both competitions, and there will be plenty of fantasy chaos for us to sort this time next week when we'll kick off Matt finally and Nick DeBano will be back to join myself and Dottie, the ideal triumvirate. How good. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the podcast. Of course, our weekly review show, if you're picking up the pieces, you're removing yourself from the rubble on the Monday, will be available with the regular crew. But until then, James and Matt, thank you so much for your time on the show today. And for those of you at home, strap in. It's going to be a big weekend. Enjoy the football.